mustard seed faith doesn't come from exhorting you to believe, doesn't come from demanding you just have faith, doesn't come with threatening you if you don't. Mustard seed faith is a miracle. Only God does miracles. Mustard seed faith is in a God who uses cruel and unusual punishment. That's what that is, right? Tie a millstone. It's a word for the smaller millstone turned by hand, not by an animal. Tie a millstone around a person's neck and throw them into the sea. Now that's cruel and unusual, isn't it? There are Muslim countries who still lop off the hands of thieves, but do you know any that use drowning by millstone? Only mobsters, only criminals give someone a pair of cement shoes. Yet here is God in flesh and blood threatening just such cruel and unusual punishment. And that's whom you are to believe in. And this punishment isn't directed at murderers or sexual sinners or idolaters specifically. It's directed at anyone who causes people to sin. That's what our insert says, but that's not what the Greek says. What is bound to come is literally scandala. And you can hear in that Greek word our English word scandal. But the Greek is more pointed than what our English has come to mean. The Greek word denoted that part of an animal trap which sprung the device. One commentator translates it death trap. So this isn't about causing someone to sin, it's about causing someone to die. And not physically, but spiritually. And not once, but forever. Still, it seems cruel and unusual. But in the spiritual rebellion of Korah, the Lord caused the ground to open and swallowed them, their tents, their wives, and their little ones. The 10 plagues were no cakewalk. In the last, the firstborn of every Egyptian, royal, slave, even the prisoner, and even of cattle, the firstborn was slaughtered by the angel of the Lord, and a collective wail is said to have gone up from the land of Egypt. I could go on. There was the flood that drowned an earth full of people and every living thing that walked on the land or flew in the air. There was the hellfire and brimstone that rained down on the five cities of Sodom, killing everyone. It seems God doesn't care if we consider something cruel or unusual. If you read the text carefully, it doesn't actually say God would do the cruel and unusual thing of tying a millstone around a person's neck and pitching him into the sea. It says for the person who is going to be a death trap, that would be better for him if that happened. Furthermore, God actually did far worse than this to his only beloved son. The Assyrians are the ones who started impaling, and that's back in 700 BC. But the Romans perfected crucifixion. It was designed by them to be cruel and unusual. It was meant to inflict the maximum pain for the longest amount of time possible. It was meant to hurt but not kill quickly. It was meant to torture so slowly. And this is how God selected to put to death his only son? He selected it even before it existed. In the law of Moses, God revealed that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And that right there is the real punishment, the curse of God. Millions were crucified beside Jesus, but only one died under the full weight, the full wrath, the full pain of God's judgment against sinners. And it wasn't someone with a millstone tied around his neck, sinking to the bottom of the sea. It was Jesus screaming in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mustard seed faith is in the God who threatens cruel and unusual punishment for those who would lead others to hell, but who actually damned his only son. And mustard seed faith is in a God who does the impossible. Jesus commands the impossible here. He says, if your brother in Christ sins, you must rebuke him. And should he repent, you must forgive him. You know how impossible it is. The first thing is, in a live and let live society. You're not permitted to confront, let alone rebuke anyone. And what's even more impossible still is forgiving the person who repents, sending away what hurts you so badly. Now, if you are thinking, well, I got this, then you're not hearing the impossibility of this. The apostles did. Notice how the command to rebuke and forgive was given to all Jesus' disciples, but only the apostles say in response, increase our faith. That's a straightforward request, and it seems like the right one when you're confronted with the impossible. But how do we get from that request to the mulberry tree? You do know it was impossible for anyone in their day to upright root a full-grown mulberry tree. It is a very sizable tree with as much of it below the ground as was above the ground. And even if you think that was somehow possible, you know that second part can't be. Jesus doesn't say the tree is merely thrown into the sea. It's planted there. A hole is dug. It's put in that hole, and it's planted to grow. Now that's impossible. Yes, it is. And it was impossible for David, who had been in the sins of adultery and murder for a year, to repent and be forgiven. But he did, and he was. It was impossible for King Manasseh, who set up idols, worshiped the host of heaven, offered child sacrifice, and practiced witchcraft, to repent and be forgiven. But he did, and he was. It was impossible for Peter, who had denied his Lord 3 times, to repent and be forgiven. But he did, and he was. It was impossible for Paul, who zealously murdered Christians, to repent and be forgiven. But he did, and he was. The thing that planting the mulberry tree and rebuking and forgiving sin have in common is God's word. The only proper object of faith, of trust, is in God's word. My opinion, your opinion, conventional wisdom, or scientific facts, they're not proper objects of faith. God's word is. And a little faith, not coconut size, but mustard seed size, a little faith in God's word can move mountains or plant mulberry trees in the sea if God's word has given the command and promise to do it. There is no command from God for mulberry trees to be uprooted, and there is no promise that they can be planted in the sea. But there is a command and promise attached to rebuking and forgiving sin. The latter two are no less impossible than the first two. The only difference is we have a word of God from God to rebuke and forgive. We don't have a word to uproot and plant. Mustard seed faith is in a God who inflicts cruel and unusual punishment, does the impossible, and it's in a God who does the opposite of the parable. Jesus is right. No earthly master has his slave eat before he does. But that's precisely what Jesus said he would do just 5 chapters earlier. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't think you've forgotten that. In Luke 12:37, Jesus says that when he returns, he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Now here are the close verbal parallels to our text. Jesus says, Will not the master say to the slave, come immediately and recline, but instead the master will say, gird yourself and wait on me. We are meant to hear both of these. When we're on the tenter hooks of the law, being hooked and poked at all that we are not doing, we need the picture of the Lord coming to wait on us as he really does at this table. But when we're tempted to put merit, worth, or deserving on what we do for Jesus, we need the picture in our text. No matter how hard you have worked, even if you've worked as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, plowing the fields of the world and shepherding the sheep of the church, you can never, ever deserve grace. Now, you would get that point if that insert translated literally. Jesus does not say, would he thank the servant because he did what was told to, he was told to do? The word is not thank. It's grace. It's literally, surely he doesn't have grace towards the slave because he did what he had been commanded. Of course not. God doesn't have grace toward you based on how well you rebuke sin or how well you forgive it. God has grace towards you solely for Jesus' sake. Jesus is the one who always did what was commanded of him. Jesus never rolled his eyes, never muttered a protest. He was the perfect person, man, woman, child. Yet he was sent to the cruel and unusual punishment of the cross to pay for all the commands we failed to do and all the promises we refused to believe. And he was punished there till he put out the fire of God's wrath against sinners and sin. Grace is in God's heart for the sake of Jesus' perfect life and his cruel and unusual death. But it doesn't remain in God's heart. God's grace for sinners is found today in the means of grace. There is grace for you in every Bible passage you read, sing, hear, think on. God's free grace, which accepts and serves sinners, is in every drop of baptismal water, and it's in every morsel of Jesus' body and every drop of Jesus' blood in communion. Well did John say that in Jesus we receive grace for grace. When we're not reading his word, we're walking around in our baptism. When our baptism appears to be drying up, which it can't do, when our baptism appears to be drying up, grace revives us at this altar. Mustard seed faith does not spring from bold, confident Christians, high on self-esteem or certainty of believing. At least it doesn't according to this text. Mustard seed faith that trusts a God who uses cruel and unusual punishment to punish sinners and to save them. Mustard seed faith that trusts in a God who does the impossible sprouts from slaves who know they are worthless to God and are ever indebted to him. Can you feel faith sprouting in this rugged terrain? Faith ever and always cries to God for grace for Jesus' sake. Faith never says, I'm worthy of this. But like the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to me. And worthless slaves know they're ever indebted to God. That last line literally says, we have only done that which we owe to do. Now, are you indebted to God? I am. I'm indebted to God for finding me when I sought him not. I'm indebted to him for doing far more than I have ever asked or even dreamt. I'm indebted to him for in wrath remembering mercy. I'm indebted to him for not rewarding me according to my iniquities and for sending my sins as far away from me as east is from west. You no more need an increase of faith than the apostles did. The tiniest faith in the God who does the impossible of serving worthless slaves at this table, which service was bought and paid for by the cruel and unusual punishment of his son, the tiniest of that faith receives all of the blessings present here in his son's body and blood. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.